is... Wow! What a week.
What a week. Politrix.
Eita, Dumelang, hello, how are you doing? Welcome to another episode of Wow, What a Week, hashtag Politrix with Fresh and Botsang. This week on Wow, Politrix, the money, the power, and the warning signs. From budget speak reactions to a political showdown between Mashaba and Zilla. From intelligence structures that allegedly didn't see it coming to Armed Forces Day celebrations while unemployment lines grow longer. Citizenship for sale, citizens returning from Russia, and a serious question about harmful sanitary products still on the shelves. Are we governing proactively or reacting permanently? Let's get into it. I'm Fresh, he's Botsang, and you are welcome.
Good morning, Fresh. Dumelang, Dumelang to the viewers and the followers. I'm okay, bro.
How's the response been to us hanging out, Lay Commissioner Dr. Masiapato?
You know, the response, it won't only be on the viewers last week.
Yes.
On the site. People will call and comment on sites. And some are like, but why him? Why are you not calling us? How many people we have invited to the show and they don't even answer us in political offices?
Because like you're saying, a lot of people in politics, mm-hmm. even in office,
yes.
watch the show. But for political reasons, they'll never comment.
Yeah.
For political reasons, they'll never share their opinions or correct us or admonish us.
Exactly.
But on the side, they'll text. Yeah. And you know what frustrates me about a lot of... And we're in a WhatsApp group with a lot of these guys.
Mm, mm, mm.
Is that they'll complain that, why are you giving such and such a person a profile?
Time, yeah.
And we're like, check your messages. We've invited you to the show before.
Exactly. Many times for the last 3 years.
We invite everyone. And then they complain when someone accepts our invitation, but Bona, they blue-ticked.
I'll tell you, yeah, they not even accept, you know, when they see the people, they don't even decline or they just blue-ticked.
Exactly.
But you will see this is the election year. And how they are going to be knocking at the door of, as if we are asking them for money or anything, which we don't.
Yes.
But unfortunately, that's how politicians work and operate. But the reaction from hosting the BMA Border Management Authority Commissioner, it is very positive. You know, even guys from neighboring countries that I used to work with on border.
Oh yes, Kunja, you worked a lot of the borders.
Yes. And Lesotho, Namibia, Botswana, and so they were like, yo. This was so informative because when they have the commissioner in meetings, normally it's commissioner to DG or PS or commissioner. Now they heard it directly from him and with ample time. Unlike in meetings, you are limited to what is on the agenda. And what Dr. Masiapato did, he spoke broadly.
Yes.
And about the border management, their achievements and challenges. So I think, Fresh, we did very well there. That was actually one of the operational civil servants, the kind of person we needed here. But our platform is open. You know, what, honestly, as not one of the people I want to get here, it's Minister Groenewald.
Oh, yeah.
Regarding challenges we are having in prisons.
Yes.
I like his ideas. Mm. Some people may say they were apartheid era ideas, but I would like us to one day host Peter Groenewald.
So you must invite him then?
I will, unless people are going to start him. Why not my political party? We are not inviting political parties.
Yes.
We are inviting people.
Individuals, players.
Individuals who are playing in the political space in the country.
Groenewald, that's like a two-par. I'm going to tell you two. Again, he believes in corporal punishment.
But not quite bizarre.
Anyway, let's jump straight into the budget speech 2026. Mm. Minister Kotongwana was obviously at the podium in the makeshift parliament.
Yeah.
On Wednesday at 2 p.m.
Is it still makeshift? I thought the...
No, they're in a dome. I think if there's a dome that...
Oh, they're in a dome. So yes. They haven't moved to the official building.
No, no.
Oh, okay. But it's completed. The renovations.
But finish it.
Yeah, I think they finished it. And I think the... I may be wrong, but I think the contractor...
I don't think so.
The public works have announced that they're going to hand over to the Speaker of Parliament. I think I read something like that. Or was it only the dome... remember, they have now, with the new or renovated parliament, they now have a banquet hall where they can have big events of parliament, like the sauna. But I know, I think Public Works handed something over to the speaker.
Yeah, I think Bamo Dome.
Oh, they're still in the dome. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but fresh looking at the budget speech, look, one, there's quite a number of notable things. My first reaction was nothing changes. We are still, it's a good balanced budget. We are praising the minister. We are praising the outgoing SARS commissioner for revenue collection. They've collected 20 billion, or is it 220 billion more than what they had projected or planned, which is a good move. But it is not only about revenue collection. Good for SARS if they collect from businesses, if they collect from high income earners that were avoiding tax. Good. That's a good move.
Yes.
It is how we are going to utilize that revenue as a nation. It is how we are going to make sure that the revenue of the state is used to fight the three major challenges, if not four, of the country. And for me, what I didn't appreciate is the fact that this budget speech, I'm always saying it's a budget speech. I don't know if you know the history where it comes from. It's a colonial thing, practice actually, from the British law, where the what do you call the exchequer of what of the Queen in England, in order to fund what the Queen had suggested for the country.
Okay.
It was a big thing in historically and colonially in England that on funding the Queen's plans about England, then the Minister of Finance, for lack of a better word, I forgot what they called, will go and read this speech. So we inherited that colonial practice. I honestly think this thing of, we have sauna, then a week or two after sauna, which is the State of the Nation address, then we have the budget speech to fund the sauna, then they'll be back in Parliament to debate. It's a waste of resources. We don't need all MPs to go and clap hands and listen to the Minister reading their collective inputs, because the budget speech is inputs from all government entities and departments requesting the Treasury to fund their projects. So they consolidate it, and they will tell the other department to say, this is how much we have, this is how much we are going to give you extra, and this is where we are cutting you. That's the only, so why go to all the way to Cape Town and have a fanfare and this whole big thing for just listening to a speech for almost 2 hours and they fly back home? And all those costs. Read the speech, let MPs and all other role players go there when it's time for debate, because it involves business. So we like to be, you know, why fly to Cape Town to listen to a speech? There's no question, there's no engagement, you just clap hands. And for me, that's the first challenge. The second challenge is, on a serious note, we have a very big budget and a good budget. It's 2.8 trillion or almost 3 trillion rands. That's the South African budget per financial year starting from the 1st of April. Good. One positive good thing that came out of it. The first one, 1.2 trillion of the 2.8, almost 3 trillion, is going to infrastructure development.
Yes.
And I think everybody agrees that it's a good move in the right direction, because it will stimulate the economy, it will create long-term employments, not just temporary employments, and employments in various sectors.
Yes.
Because once you, how do I put it, once you increase the levels of construction and you improve on infrastructure development, you can cover various sectors of the economy from small business. They increased also the budget, secondly, of the small and medium enterprises, which we need. You know, a lot of Asian tigers or Asian giants of business, like Malaysia.
Asian tigers?
Polish, yeah.
Oh, no, can I name a dash or the tiger?
No, man, Asian tigers is the economic giants of
okay.
Asia.
I understand. Okay.
The
beasts from the east.
Yes, the beasts of... They managed to put their countries and out of, you know, the wars and economic downturn of the 40s and the 50s where they are due to investing a lot on small businesses, because it is at the helm of making sure that people have income, households have food, the economy is revolving around the people. We don't do that. We are putting a little, even if we increase year to year, we are putting a little towards SMME's development And then we don't focus on infrastructure towards SMMEs, because then you are putting the economy at the heartbeat of the people, and we are failing to do that. But the other element is debt, foreign debt reduction, and I have a problem with that, Fresh. Mm. Our debt, it's a lot, and it results in India, especially from the last 9 years. It's a lot, and to focus the fiscus and the budget of the country on funding the debt primarily, for me, it's wrong. I was saying to you at the radio, 938 radio during the week, you know, we pay 1.4 billion rands a day towards our foreign debt. That's why months ago, sometimes last year, me and you, we spoke about that our kids, we are borrowing too much. Our kids will be paying the money that the government is borrowing. Mm. But when you look at what the country generates on a daily basis, it's about 1.2 billion. So we are generating less than what we are. Mm. We are borrowing, and that's only from borrowing.
Sure.
And for me, it's a challenge. I want to agree with some opposition parties like Mr. Zungu, who are saying it's right direction. He has increased budget for education, health, security, and important issues like social services.
Mm.
But are they drivers of the economy?
Yes.
Will they drive the economy if you increase health spending, security spending? They don't drive the economy. It's good when we can take care of the elderly and the citizens and youth that is unemployed.
Yes.
With grants. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But it's a burden on the state to can give, like the 350s.
I was going to say, I mean, the SRD, the 350, which is now 370, if I'm not mistaken.
It's more now, yes.
I mean, obviously that was supposed to offer relief during COVID.
Yes.
And I think it was an unenviable position to be in, that out of lockdown, then you have to decide, do we continue giving people relief and a little bit of dignity in that you can at least go buy nyana something?
Right.
Or do we pull the carpet from under people's feet? And I think they did the right thing by not cancelling the SRD. And we can't argue and say there's no money. There's money.
Mm.
You just need to maybe redirect certain expenditure that in the bigger scheme of things does not benefit the average person on the street.
Yeah. In a medium term planning, medium to long term planning.
Mm.
What the government should have done after they introduced the social grant relief money, they should have look a human being nature, especially unemployed youth.
Yes,
you give them this 350. After 2 years, it's going to be very difficult to stop it, and they know that they may be facing the revolution in the country. Youth are disillusioned in South Africa because of unemployment and poverty. They will be more in destitute. Now, what you do is they should have planned that the economy of the country creates jobs or opportunities for the benefactors of the social grant, so that gradually over the years you reduce the number of people who are dependent on social grants. Mm. It is important that our youth must continue to receive, but don't use it as a political tool towards elections.
Mm.
Because look, if somebody wants to go and make photocopies to go and apply for a job, that money helps. If you want to go for a job interview, that 350 may be helping that child or youth or unemployed person who can use public transport to go for a job interview or job hunting. But it's not sustainable. We cannot be a nation that is dependent on, that is dependent on social grants. It's not sustainable.
Mm.
And I also looked at we obviously needed to increase the defense budget because of the lament that has been coming from all four tiers of our armed forces,
including some of the generals.
The generals were crying. We had to increase the budget. Year in, year out, we have to increase the security services budget, especially the South African police service. They are strained, and all that. What is disappointing again? Last week we spoke about how we hosted the Border Management Authority Commissioner, Dr. Michael Masiapato. And one of the things he cried about is to say, according to the budget that the Border Management Authority planned as far back as 2022 and presented to government, they needed at least three billion rands to can function optimally. first year they gave them half a billion, the next year, 800,000. But now, from 2026 financial year moving forward, they've increased it with approximately 900 million, not even a billion. So there will be a fresh 1.4 billion, which is almost half of what they need.
Oh, yes.
It's a step in the positive direction. And I think the BMA will increase. If they could do as good as they've done with half a million.
Yes.
Now, and then they move to 800,000. Half a billion, sorry. Yes. For half a billion. Now they move to 800, in a sense. So they will do well with 1.4 billion. I think it's a step in the other, but they should have been given more.
And
knowing that part of the problem in the country that even the minister mentioned
is illicit goods.
It's illicit goods.
And I mean, if you can nip in the bud how illicit goods make their way into the streets of South Africa,
yes,
then you can sooner, one, either have your British tobacco, British American tobacco say, maybe we won't leave the country.
Yeah. We'll save jobs, we're making profit.
Because we don't compete with Lady Fong Kong. But yes, as long as we compete with Lady Fong Kong, we can't compete.
Look, if the border authorities budget can be increased to primarily stop, you know, the biggest problem is not even illegal immigrants mainly, is the illicit goods when you yes. speak of the economy. Mm. They damage the economy. SARS is complaining about loss of revenue due to illicit goods.
Yes.
Or companies and private sector, it's complaining about loss of revenue or business because of illicit goods. Health is complaining about how people are affected by health situation in the country because of illicit goods. Mm. You understand? So almost all important sectors of the country are having a problem with illicit goods. And you still do not go and pump, because as you correctly say, Fresh, if we curb that, we will generate more revenue from business and being able to tax proper goods, and people will consume goods that are within the standards of the country.
Remember that horrible chapter where children in the township were dying yes. from eating contaminated food?
Yes.
There was a raid that was done on a warehouse in Durban.
Yeah, I recalled it.
And from that raid, they found that majority of the goods in that warehouse, nobody knows how they got into the country.
They got there, yeah.
A lot of the goods were expired from other nations. So you'll find a brand of noodles or rice from some other country in Asia. It's expired. Other people had operations where they were relabeling expiry dates on expired yes. foods. So this is actually a bigger issue than we might be giving it credit for.
Exactly.
So I think a better functioning BMA will fix a lot of other issues.
Absolutely.
That stem from illicit goods making their way into the country.
Yeah. Now we'll see. We'll see when the political parties, especially the opposition, are going to now go and debate on the budget. What the government is supposed to do now, with what we have heard from the ad hoc committee and Madlanga Commission,
yes,
with what we have seen in the South African police service, the justice system, including the prosecuting system, I think the South African government should guard that 1.2, 1.3 trillion rands towards infrastructure development, with water mafias, infrastructure mafias, and everybody else building mafias, construction mafias involved. They should guard that, because it will be useless to have a stimulant of 1.2 to 1.3 trillion rands that is going to end in the hands of criminals and cartels and people who are going to exploit that opportunity that government has created. And then those construction sites will be incomplete. And construction is not only building. It could be roads. It could be dam. Anything else that the country needs now. The government must guard that with jealousy.
Yes.
Then we'll start seeing a turnaround of more unemployed people, more revenue creation. I've been unemployed for years now. I've started, accepting that actually employment was a scam. People must start talking the language of generating income,
yes,
not being employed only. But do anything else you can do that we are gifted in doing to can generate income to be able to live. You don't have to be employed.
Sure.
to be able to do that. But I think if the government can guard against corruption, maladministration, and people not rendering full services, we will do well to progress.
Another issue that a lot of people were happy about was tax brackets and medical aid credits being adjusted for inflation.
I am happy with that. It is more in favor of the middle class, or, you know, low income and as not middle class, low income and middle income and as. I'm good with that, except one. The sin tax, I'm a sinner, so it affects me very bad. As well as the main one I've got a problem with fresh is that the revenue on fuel, the increase of that revenue on fuel. We are already, it's going to be shifted by business to the consumers. That revenue on fuel, it's intended to fund state entities and agencies like Road Accident Fund. We don't know what the government is doing with some of that money, despite the fact that you still pay tax when you buy fuel. That goes to SARS.
Yes.
But this money, I know the responsibility and I understand the responsibility of the Road Accident Fund. But I think we are putting money into a bucket with holes, because the way the Road Accident Fund Act is structured as informed by the constitution of the country, it is not good for the country. That entity...
We've said this before.
Yes, that entity is costing... It's costing us billions of rands as a country per annum. And now they're increasing their revenue with 9 cents. 9 cents of the revenue increment is going to go to the Road Accident Fund, because they are in red, remember? They are in minors. They've got court cases pending. And I think we don't have to pump money. You know, it's like business people will tell you, when the entity or business is not making money, it's not sustainable, you can't keep on pumping money. Look at how South African government for over 15 years was pumping money into South African Airways.
Yes.
Don't pump the money. Change the model.
Yes.
Get proper qualified people there. They will turn this whole thing around so that it must start generating revenue, or it must start funding itself. We cannot keep on pumping money to the Road Accident Fund. And the problem is not only management there and leadership. The past, the present, it's not. The problem there is the legislation of the country that is making money to just flow out. Law firms are milking the Road Accident Fund. Not even accident, what we call it, accident victims. Law firms take more money from RAF than the victims.
I was going to lament, Hore, in the value chain, RAF, the people who that money is meant to benefit, you almost feel like they are secondary.
They are not even secondary. And, if there's third level, they are there.
And that actually, they're standing in the way.
Yeah.
Is what it almost feels like.
We have a state agency which was created with good intentions. And actually, RAF has existed from the apartheid years. But its legislation is incorrect. And then you ask yourself, what is it that makes lawmakers in parliament not to change or to implement the over-the-years proposed changes of the RAF, you know, a bill? Why? And that's my biggest worry with all this. But yeah, thumbs up to Minister Enoch Godongwana and the members at Treasury, and, you know, all those departments that contributed. It is the doing now that's left. Are they going to use those budget allocations? Unlike municipalities, they will return money. Yeah, there's no services.
Yes. In fact, speaking of the bailout, and that often it's bad management that lets SOEs down, or political appointments, or people wanting to eat at the expense of the product itself. So, you know, instead of taking cream from the milk, you want to eat the cow. Now you can't get milk.
Yeah.
You know, and the basics of eating is take a bit of cream. But make sure the cow's
keep
healthy.
Keep the milk there.
But make sure the cow's healthy.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, you look at SAA and the fact that they made, 155 million rand profit.
Profit, yeah.
Second year in a row since business rescue.
Yes.
But they wanted to sell it for the rand again.
Exactly. That's the one. Even Eskom went through that.
Yes.
SAA, and it's a typical, SABC itself, it's a typical example that when you put good people there with good ethics and good morals who are intending to work and serve the state without political interference and political, you know, favors, then you can turn around these SOEs. And don't bail them.
Yeah.
When you bail a thief, what do you expect the thief to do?
Exactly.
When they leave jail? What would you expect them to do? All they know is that I'm a thief. I steal.
Mm.
Now they bail me. What stops him from stealing again? And that's the mistake with it. I'm simplifying it. Bailing SOEs has been the problem. Should have forced them to say, go and make money. If you don't, will collapse. You lose your salaries and your income.
And with respect, we're not saying Lesaja. But Jean Lipumuleng, man.
Eh? I'm saying, Baba,
no,
those say, who steal must be jailed.
Unfortunately, we're in a time where you're even having presidents like Trump who are very brazen about Hoja.
We're
very brazen about, I will enrich myself and enrich my people.
Yeah.
And now for me, it's, we know it's happening, but can you at least make sure people have services when it happens? That's all. That's all.
But yeah, fresh, yeah, that's all I had for the son.
Action SA were in Orlando, Soweto, last week, Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Where Ntate Herman Mashaba was announced at the as the mayoral candidate for the city of Johannesburg.
Yes, sir.
Helen Zille is there already.
Yes.
Now, for me, it almost feels personal that because Helen pulled Herman out of I'm busy working and no
on this day.
Wasinya. It almost feels like he wants to show the old leash.
I
obviously wants to clean up the city.
I think primarily Mr. Mashaba has what he calls unfinished business.
Mm.
He believes, and sometimes it is important, it helps. And I'll tell you why. People, there's a saying, a general saying that says, when you do something for the public or for goodwill, don't personalize it. Don't take it personal. However, I've got a different view, having have listened to Mr. Mashaba. Sometimes it is important, that's what it takes for a person to deliver.
Mm.
That I was doing this. I was brave and brazen like criminals to combat criminals.
Mm.
In a sense of physical criminals, building hijackers, corruption in the city of Joburg. I was doing it as a man, Mashaba. Allow me to go and finish my business because you saw what I was capable of doing in the 3 years, 2016 to 2019, under the banner of the Democratic Alliance to do that. And I think where Herman Mashaba has a comparative advantage over Helen Zille is that, remember what he's using now as a ticket, is that I was pulled out by the Democratic Alliance led by Helen Zille because I was doing things for the people.
Mm.
I was cleaning Joburg. They didn't like that I don't do things for people in Sandton only. I also do things for people in the Vaal, for people in Alexander, for people in Soweto. So that ticket, that move by the Democratic Alliance in 2019, led by Helen Zille, to pull Herman Mashaba out of that, gave birth to Action SA.
Mm.
And he is saying, I'm ready to come and finish what I had started. And I think he's got a very good ticket to run on towards local elections. There was a challenge, I don't know whether it was face value, there were other people contesting the position to be mayor-elect or mayor candidate for Action SA. Their spokesperson, two of their MPs, the Joburg leader, the Gauteng leader, their names were there. There were five people. But for reporting purposes, I attended the event in order, you know, to can get first hand to what was it became very clear to me when I walked into that wall actually that I saw other people were taking their roles.
Mm.
And then he was sitting right there. You see, I looked at what you call it, the optics.
Optics, body language.
Yeah, body language. And you know, where did he sit? He came in and he was amongst the masses and the people, and they were sitting with regions.
Mm.
And I don't know whether it was planned that way, but I saw people grouping like we are from Tswane, we are from Joburg, because they were supporting each other. So he went and sat in the middle and spent a lot of time with the people of Joburg region.
Mm.
And for me, that was already telling that no, they've decided and Herman is going to come out. But look, I've seen the media and people's comments, both print and social media. People are saying it was a good move for Action SA. A lot of people, even people outside Action SA, believes that he's the good man for the job. But by the way, he is not. We may have created an impression as media that it is Mashaba versus Zille. There's other candidates.
Yes.
The ANC is still, if I'm not mistaken, even if it's with a small margin, currently still the leading party in Joburg.
Mm.
So we still have the ANC. Loyiso Masuku is the current chairperson of ANC in Joburg region. Mm-hmm. Then
I like Loyiso.
I don't know if she's ready for that position.
I was going to say, Utlaka energy emnati.
Yeah, this year.
But I'm hoping the politics internally won't almost dimwe mele in focusing on where she needs to go. Because already there's disputes about where the ballots stuffed.
How she
not,
was elected.
Ballot papers were found. Kai, we are appealing. Mm-hmm. And I think looking at energy, Dr. Moya,
Go Tswane, yes.
A part of me almost feels like maybe let's let women run out.
No, women are doing well.
Let women run these municipalities.
Honestly, because no.
Because my guitar no sing.
I always refer you to one of my favorite music artists, Juan Amatrady.
Yes.
Has a song, Let Women Rule. Or if women rule the world, it will be a better thing.
Yes.
Women are doing well, and I think they are being disturbed by internal politics of
absolutely.
Their
absolutely.
Should you manage internal politics? Me and you the other day we spoke about if the ANC wants to have a grip on Joburg or Gauteng, they must stop that thing and manage that thing of Loyiso Masuku versus Dada Morero. Mm. They must clean that thing up in order to focus their energy on solidifying their stance in Joburg.
Yes.
Because people have already written the ANC off. They are saying it's Mashaba and Zili, then maybe the ANC. But there's other political parties, you know. Patriotic Alliance has put Kenny Kunene back onto the vote. Controversy is an EFF. They haven't announced their candidates. So it is going to be a tough red race for the city of Joburg. And the city of Joburg, I must say, they must brace themselves that they may be in a worse situation after the 2026 local government elections. And you know why I'm saying the worst?
Mm.
They may come out with a more fragmented, what do you call, local government council.
Yes.
In other words, these political parties are either going to drop percentages. They'll be neck on neck. So definitely they are faced with another coalition. That's a definite so far. If we go to election so far, they'll be faced with another coalition.
So I think Brahman this past week was talking about how Grenadier he wants to win outright.
Outright, yes.
But what are the chances that he'd win outright?
Look, Fresh, he will have to work that gun. I can tell you the only way Mr. Mashaba can win outright or can get the majority with a big margin, it's if members and supporters of other political parties, like supporters and members of the ANC, decides to say, I am ANC, I will vote ANC later, but for city of Joburg, for where I stay, I'm not going to vote with my heart, I'm going to vote with my mind.
Mm.
That's the only thing. So it's a mind game.
Yes.
I have always for years said, when it comes to local government elections, and I've never voted on local government elections because I've always never believed in elections. But this time I'm going to vote. And I'm going to vote with my heart, my mind, not my heart. I'm not going to vote with my political ideology or political parties that I love or political leaders that I like. I'm going to vote with my mind.
I was going to say, it's important at a local government level to vote with what you need.
Yes.
Look at your own personal hierarchy of needs.
Exactly.
Who can tick all of those boxes of what needs to happen where you live?
And
unfortunately, it might not be your favorite political
exactly.
party.
Exactly. It might not. Look, I stayed in Tswane for long.
Mm.
And for years in areas that I stayed,
you're a comrade.
The ward councillor.
Yes.
Who would be either Freedom Front Plus or the Democratic Alliance.
Mm.
I don't like both the parties. I don't agree with their political ideas. But when they were doing for their constituency, because I was staying within their majority constituency, I became a benefactor of that, and it made sense to me.
Yes.
And then I was held back by my heart and history to say, I am not going to vote for Freedom Front Plus. That was very stupid of me.
Mm.
I should have said, if they are delivering, let me push them to continue delivering for me, for me. And that's how we must start thinking politically.
You know, I understand the dilemma that you might feel, okay, Freedom Front Plus have been delivering in the area I live.
Yes.
But, you know, it becomes a very blurry line eventually when you start thinking nationally.
Yes.
That maybe.
now.
You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying.
It's a very slow.
Yeah, if they get jittered locally, they give us time nationally. Look, I fancy Grunewald approach towards correctional services.
Yes.
Only I don't know him from what could he done if he was at education or land affairs. I don't know what he would have done.
But as a president, he doesn't get your vote.
Never.
Okay.
He will refuse to give back the land. And and I'm for anybody who's going to take about the land restoration,
yeah,
they will have my vote.
What do you think the big issues for local government elections are going to be, especially for us who live more Gauteng?
Mm-hmm.
Because, for instance, Herman is very big on clean up our cities.
Yes.
Kenny Kunene is very big on clean up our cities.
Yeah.
In fact, the times that Kenny has been acting mayor, the first thing he arranged would be a building raid.
Yes.
He was very, very hands-on, very on the ground.
Yes, yes.
What do you think the big issues are
going
to be?
I think politically it's going to be service delivery. Clean up our cities, it's going to be the second one.
Mm.
And we have cleaned up our cities everywhere. You look at Sunnyside in Tshwane, look at Hillbrow in Joburg, look at the area in Ekurhuleni for drug traffickers and what you call Zamazamas and all that. I think, but primarily it's going to people saying, do we have water coming out of the taps? Are the roads fixed? Are the lights working? Are the municipal accounts in order? You know, I think people want basics and convenience.
Mm.
The second thing is going to be, now I have the basics. Now I have water, I have electricity. Portals gets fixed here and there. But am I safe? Do I have drugs on the streets? Do you understand? Are we safe in our states? It's going to be the secondary issue.
Sure.
And I think the main thing is the party that is going to convince people that we delivered basics as a municipality. And in Tshwane, we know that it's a coalition in Tshwane, but it's only when people who read and look at the show like this, they will understand why, what is a coalition? Why is it not Action SA that is ruling in Tshwane. It's a coalition government led by a mayor who is from Action SA. But rightfully so, or politically so, Action SA as a political party will run with a ticket that look at what we have done in Tshwane.
Yes.
And the thing, we know that EFF and ANC are there.
Mm.
And they've got numbers.
Sure.
More than Action SA. But because it's their leader at the helm of the municipality. And Brahim and Mashaba had said, his strategy is to have all three metros of Gauteng under Action SA. And if he can do that, for him, it will be a big achievement. Because it will send shockwaves fresh in the political spectrum if you take the three big metros of Gauteng province.
Mm.
And remember, one of their leaders with very big experience is the former mayor of the Nelson Mandela Bay. He's a leader of Action SA now, Trollip. You remember he had a stint, and it looks like, if I had listened carefully last week, when Trollip was in Nelson Mandela Bay, it looks like also that he stabilized things. You know, he turned things around until he also fell out of favor with Helen Zille.
Mm.
So Mayor Helen Zille has been bulldozing them out of their offices, but he is going to face. And I've seen something also from DA members. There are people who are members of the DA are calling for the DA to, in order to win Joburg or to lead Joburg, they are saying, hey, remove Helen Zille because Mashaba is going to clap her.
Mm.
They are saying, remove that, bring somebody, I don't know who.
But I don't know that there's anyone in the DA that could go toe-to-toe against Mashaba better than
Zille. Better than Zille.
Yes.
Yeah, at the moment, not fresh, but look, again, I think we are infested with putting our love and hope on people that we have seen. I'm one of the people who have said, I don't know where do people get this thing that Helen Zille is a good governor, is a good political leader. When she was the premier of the Western Cape, and she was the mayor of the city of Cape Town. The city of Cape Town, where there are rich, privileged people who majority are white people, they've seen the work that the Democratic Alliance under Helen Zille and anybody else has done, and they can attest to that. But outside that, where has she done besides the city of Cape Town, where the few minority privileged can see the results? A city, it's not only the city center or the suburban rich suburbs. A city includes even squatter camps around the city, because that's part of the bigger problem of the city.
Yes.
And if you fail to deliver on that, for me, I don't think, and the majority of the voters, The majority of who are the black people are the majority in this country, whether we like it or not. The majority of the voters come from townships, rural areas, and informal settlements.
But is that not part of the method behind why you can't dismantle informal settlements? Because informal settlements, more often than not, are people who probably loved the comrades when they were in the village. And now they're in town. And I get it, statistically, it's always the towns that the party that freed or got freedom or independence start losing.
Yes.
It's often in the cities.
Yes.
And how do you dilute that? By allowing informal settlements and people from rural areas to dilute
the vote
of the clevers.
By perpetuating, you probably don't want to put it robustly, by perpetuating poverty.
Yes.
Because that's what you keep people poor and dependent on you. You give them a little, there's a slice of bread, a loaf of bread which has 18 slices. Mm. These people have been used to 2 slices. Mm. Every election year, you give them a slice extra. They see it as an improvement. Mm. You move them from rural areas to the city. You make education at basic level free. Then they get social grants and you give them 20 rents every financial year extra. And then you give them water tankers or JoJo tankers to deliver water every 5 years. Then you put a tap on the street. Mm. After 10 years, the tap is in your yard. And then after 15 years, the tap dries. And when it comes for elections, and that's how you are perpetuating poverty by creating an impression
and
that
you are
rendering a service.
And reliance.
You understand?
Dependence.
But you asked me a question. How will they do that now? Mm. People are growing up. Mm. Those old age people who are still inclined to the liberation movements, outgoing politics, the youth.
Who've got struggle nostalgia.
No, yes. The youth, anybody who was born from, let me even use 1990, not 94. 1990, a person born on 1990 is turning how old this year? About 36 this year. Mm. You're not going to tell that person about Mkutini and Robben Island. Mm. Those people, it's their end of their youth. You are 36, you're not even a youth.
Mm.
You are going to say, but I've been living in this township in Zamdela, and what have I seen all my years? Don't come and what did the former liberation movement do for me?
Mm.
And that's why political parties like Action SA, Patriotic Alliance, and the Bosa of South Africa, the Zungula Party, that's why they are gaining momentum and appealing more to people who are 35 years and younger, between the age of voting, 18 and 35. They are appealing more to those people because they went to school. They've been living under poverty and squalor despite liberation, and you are not going to use political nostalgia, as you said, to can convince those people that you are still the relevant political party they must vote for. So for me, that's the only thing that's going to dilute and weaken other political parties. I'm one of the people who are saying after 2029 elections, the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, led by Nyonso, will not come back to government the same way it happened with AZAP. Because the people they were appealing to as a liberation movement will never vote for them again,
yes,
or they have diminished.
Mm.
So we are going to see all these new political parties growing or increasing their footprint in local government elections than former liberation movements.
Sure.
They're having a tough time, and informal liberation movements were actually left with one political party, and the ANC.
Mm.
Maybe in Qatar, it's one of the oldest parties to some extent. But otherwise, all these parties are new.
Sure.
The DA has dressed themselves with new robes and new colors, you know, from being a democratic party in the apartheid era. Then there was a new national party which dissolved into the ANC and the Democratic Party. Then it came out being called the Democratic Alliance. So there's change in the political spectrum, and we can't say people are naive.
Yes.
They will not align themselves with these changes. People are waking up. And thanks to social media, we are no longer depending on SABC and TV to be misled and be fed lies.
That's why Uganda shut down internet.
Are you giving President Ramaphosa clues?
I'm just saying. That's why they shut down internet. Sometimes they let Uta.
Internet has made people woke. Yes, sir.
Let's talk Armed Forces Day. Happened in Toyando last weekend.
Yes.
And some people don't understand why are you having an Armed Forces Day when maybe those budgets should be redirected to arming the forces in the first place, or taking care of salaries, servicing equipment, etc. But others would argue that, but we need to showcase our armed forces. It's a day that commemorates not just the current armed forces, but you know, people that have fallen as far back as during World War One, when the Mendi sunk.
Sunk, yes. First, commemorated at what expense? Look, one positive thing out of the Armed Forces Day: men and women in uniform, generally, whether it's a nurse, doctor, what was. It's a show of kids for them. It makes them feel good to commemorate important dates in their careers. I remember mom when they had the Florence Nightingale Day or birthday.
Or for the nurses.
For the nurses.
Yes.
Mom was very mad about that. I'm like, Magriza, I'm like, Nightingale, why are you excited about Florence Nightingale? But it was very important for him. The armed forces, soldiers and police, and armed forces in this case as a South African military, you know, celebrating the or commemorating their day. The one good thing is that the current administration, the GNU, cut the budget of that commemoration with almost half. Instead of using about 7 million, they use about 3 million.
And most of the money was for logistics.
Yeah, it was for logistics, yes. Traveling, what arrangement and all that.
Exactly.
And to be honest, 3 million to commemorate such an important day, it's not a lot of money. It's in not. A country like us, we are a very militarized country. We've got four arms of the military. It's not. What disturbed me was actually it coincided with quite a number of things towards the build-up. Yes, the main event was a Saturday that was addressed last week, Saturday, that was addressed by the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of the country, President Ramaphosa.
Mm.
It's okay. That was a party and they were celebrating and commemorating. However, towards the build-up, they had a very good program and plan. And one of the programs or plans for that week was the annual intake of the armed forces, of the soldiers, where the South African National Defense was advertised posts, particularly in Limpopo, for submission for, and they were targeting youth. You had to be between 18 and 35 to apply to join the force. And for two or three reasons, due to poverty levels in the country, due to unemployment of youth, and also due to the effect that many, by the way, I'm very surprised how many people want to be soldiers or police. You know, youth, they actually like to be in uniform. Mm. I don't know if they know that the police and soldiers are not earning good money in South Africa. But if you are earning nothing, you know, the little you will get, it's something.
Yes.
What I did not like, and where I think the South African National Defense Force, in as part of commemorating the Armed Forces Day, was to make those youth to queue for days to queue to submit application for jobs. There were people who came as far as the Northern Cape, as far as KZN and Mpumalanga and Gauteng, to travel to Limpopo with what when you are unemployed to apply for a job. And the worst is, at this damn age of technology, then you must hand in your CV, certified copies of qualifications to apply, and then you queue. You know, when I watch TV during the week to the build-up, seeing those queues of youth, some were saying they came 2 days before at 5 a.m. and they're still in the queue. They slept there because majority were not from the Limpopo province. Why are you subjecting poor, unemployed youth to that? Why do they have to submit the applications physically? First of all, it costs them money to make copies. Secondly, to travel there. They have to eat. If you are on a queue to submit an application, you sit there the whole day, you must eat.
Wasn't it seen as a photo op, maybe?
Yeah, but it's abusive. For me, it's a photo op for who?
I agree 100%.
It actually, if it was a photo op to demonstrate that we are doing something, giving youth opportunity, in my observation, it backfired.
Because I would have, for instance, framed it as it's Armed Forces Day, it's Armed Forces Week or weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are hiring as an army that cares and needs to bolster itself, go to your nearest barracks in your province
exactly.
And submit. Or email Elang Mona or right here, or fax here, if fax still exist. For me, that would have been a bigger statement.
Exactly.
It would have been a bigger statement to say, hey, if there's an army base or there's a barracks near where you are, or here's a central point from your town or your province, submit your applications there. Yeah. So even if that is some PR or photo op, and you know that you're not going to hire 95% of them or 99% of them,
yeah,
but at least it's a, we will facilitate that you submit as close to where you live as possible.
Yes.
Because we understand that chances are you're unemployed.
Mm.
So you're going to now ask Gogo for Dente so that...
You travel to Toya to submit.
Exactly.
And again, why would they not use technology? Why do we still submit job applications with hard copies? And remember, my other concern is fresh. It is not only to sub. People can say because they get hacked, they get deleted and what. Who said if they are physical, they cannot be banned? We have found election ballot papers all over the country before. It is the cost of making those copies. You understand? To go to a, what do you call these shops where people make photos? It's not all of us who have access to printers at home. And to go to those places to make photocopies, it costs you money. Why do we still do that? When we can say, scan your certificate, scan your CV and your application, email it to this email address. Government has been advertising like that. I think the government should have even outsourced the DPSA or a recruitment agency to can collect those. It will still be cheaper for the people, not for government, for the people. But you are now transferring this whole burden to the unemployed youth. And for me, that's a very serious concern.
Yes.
But those who went to the armed forces, they are still have friends in the military and security. Like they said, it was very nice. They enjoyed it. And the president gave a promising speech for youth. Like, I mean, I hear President Ramaphosa say, youth, join the army. The army needs you and there's a job opportunity. You know how many posts are we talking about here? A thousand. A thousand posts in 56% unemployed youth of 60 million.
As much as I understand the budgetary reservations people may have, a part of me also feels like a military day is an opportunity for the boys and the girls in green to parade with pride.
Yes.
What we do
is,
you know what I mean, like, this is what we do, this is who we are. I mean, when you go to the ranch show,
yes,
and you see the pride with which they operate that machinery, the pride with which they show you that this missile does this, I get it that as much as yes, the issues are new, morale is it needs to be found where it needs to be found. And if it's in a military parade or in giving them an opportunity just to take pride for one day, in front of the public to say, this is who we are, guys.
And look, we are going to see it now with the president having have announced the soldiers to back the police in crime, you know, hidden areas. I think it's an opportunity for the people to also see that they don't just sit in barracks and eat and sleep.
We're part of the community. We might be trained. Yeah. We might be trained killers, but we're part of the community. And crime will not affect them eventually because we have family members in those communities.
You know the story that I've got reservation. The story that soldiers are trained to kill. I hear the president talking about it. We talk about it.
It's oversimplifying.
It's simplifying it. You know, fresh during the apartheid era. We used to fear the apartheid police. I vividly recall in the township, we used to fear the apartheid police than the soldiers. Because they are trained to kill or to shoot armed people fighting with them, not civilians.
Yes.
It was very rare that the apartheid soldiers killed unarmed civilians, except when they were misled, like where they killed children they suspected to be APLA forces and they were age 12 in the former Transkei. There were incidents like that. But majority of African people in this country during apartheid were murdered, slaughtered, harassed and beaten by the police more than soldiers. Soldiers are normally disciplined people,
sure,
who don't just kill. They are not trigger happy people. But one day, maybe we should invite General Mapangwa, as much as he's on retirement. That was another thing that I didn't like about last week's event. It is wrong. It is very wrong for the president of the country, who's responsible for appointing the generals like DGs and premiers, to allow, and I have nothing against General Mapam, nothing, to allow him to come and demonstrate and parade his armed forces under his command when he has reached an age of retirement last year in November. He's over 65 and he is still the general. Why didn't they fill the post on time? Why is he still at work?
Maybe it was to allow him one last parade.
Why? Why?
Just to say thanks for your service.
No, thanks if it till last year January. Last year in February, Armed Forces, the General Mapangwa was still the general of the armed forces, and they knew his retirement is coming in November. Today, General Mapangwa is still sitting on the general seat at Thaba Tshwane. It is wrong. That's where we do wrong. No matter that it's a one person there, why break the law for one person? There's laws in the country. The government is breaking the law. The president didn't even take us into confidence to tell us that he has given him 3 months extension and why. At least do that part.
So that he can have his last parade.
Did he ask us first? Did he inform us first? Why is he still at work? It's actually illegal. He's an illegal employee of the South African National Defence Force. If you read what the law says, we don't have a letter of extension of his contract. And the reason, you don't just extend, you must tell the reason, President Ramaphosa, Lim Meenji, why is the general still there?
You know, he's wrapping things up.
Yeah. I'm sorry, General. I like you a lot. It's not about that. It's about being a public administrator.
So it's not personal?
No, it's not personal. Even those that I like, I question their positions.
You know, I keep working at Baya Morale, for instance. So, you know, whenever I go to the Ryan Show, I always make sure I take my kids to the military section.
Section, yes.
And I always end up taking pictures with, like, quite a few boys and girls in green.
In green, yes.
But without fail, I thank them for their service. Because I think it's a thankless job. And generally, people will never stop someone in service and say thank you for your service.
Right, that's good.
And now my encouragement to all of you is, if you see someone that is rendering a service, you know, whether they're sweeping or they're in the army or they're a soldier,
taking the beans, whatever.
Or you just tell them, well, have a good day, or be safe, or thank you for your service. But let's stop rendering people invisible.
Especially civil servants, man. We have been called names even where we do good.
Anyway, let's keep it moving. Speaking of civil servants and thanking people for service, I'm told you can buy you can buy an ID and a birth certificate and a passport.
Hey, fresh.
You
can buy everything in South Africa. You know this case, last week we hosted the BMA, you know, ironically, we had the BMA commissioner talking about the success of border operational management.
The irony is we had him here last
Saturday,
week.
Yes. Yeah. And then on Monday, boom, breaking news, four officials at Home Affairs are being arrested for having have sold South African birth certificate, citizenship, ID, passports, and some residence permits, almost everything to legitimize a person who's a foreign national to be legal in South Africa.
Surely there's a national security breach.
Absolute. There is.
Forget that it's identity fraud.
Yeah.
Just at a national security level, it's a breach. Man.
It's an absolute breach that you can go to that extent. One, I believe it's not for. I've worked in an environment for many years. I believe it's a whole syndicate. There's quite a number of people involved. That's the first. Secondly, according to the SIU report, these people have been doing it for years. You understand? Years. If you think of two of the cases that I mentioned, and I don't say it's true, but they are being mentioned and they are on court papers. It's how the pastor, whoever, bishop, whoever,
Omotosho,
as well as Prophet Bushiri, acquired their South African citizenship. Those are some of the two that I mentioned, but there's quite a lot and a number of them. I just hope the SAU and Home Affairs are not going to focus on African immigrants only. I hope they are going to spread it across the board to check who else inside the Department of Home Affairs, who else inside border officials from wherever the years could have compromised security of the country, participated in the process, whether you are from Tajikistan or you are from Uzbekistan or Iran, wherever, they should be checked. Actually, I am of the view that the Republic of South Africa must do an overhaul of the citizenship or citizenry in the country. Let there be a moratorium on immigration for a moment while we are cleaning our house. Let us check how many people acquired their citizenship, their IDs, their passports, their birthright of South Africa, say in the last 20 years. Mm. I'll make an example. We take a fine tooth comb. We comb everybody. Come and report at Home Affairs or go to your nearest what station to report you are going to be tested if you are a South African. Because why I'm calling for this audit of citizenry, we may reduce the burden on the budget and the fiscus of the account. We may not be. I'm one of the people fresh for many years who have said, I don't think we are 60 million citizens in this country. I don't think so. I think there are more than 60 million people in South Africa. That one, I believe. There are more than 60 million. But I still believe that the citizens of this country, counting even legal immigrants or people who acquired their citizenship properly, I don't think we are more than 55 million.
Mm.
If we were counted to have been 40 million in 1994, even if we give birth or we give permits, where is 25 million coming from in 30 years? 25 million people.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. And Home Affairs must simply say, how many citizenships did we grant to foreign nationals in the last 30 years?
Do an audit.
You start there easy. We have issued 2 million immigration permits or residence permits. Sharp. Mm. Now, why are we now having 8 million former foreigners who are now South Africans? If we have issued, who are these other ones?
Mm.
It's very easy to do this audit. It's very easy, I can tell you. And you know why? Because South Africans are complaining about illegal foreign nationals, I think South Africans will participate to also want to make sure that, hey, am I still a national?
Exactly.
Or maybe my passport was sold by those officials. Because what they've done, it is not illegal passport certificate. It's not the fraudulent ones that people use to buy downtown Hillbrow or in Sunnyside or in some Mukuki in Soshanguve. No. It's legitimate South African citizenry documents that were issued by officials of the Department of Home Affairs.
So it's not even a fake ID.
No, it's not a fake.
It went through the printing works.
It went through the process. That's why Prophet Bushiri from Malawi issued what I actually think it's a very, not nasty, but for lack of a better word, nasty statement to say, SIU of South Africa, get your acts in order, do your job. That statement, if you read it, is cheeky.
Mm.
To say, do your job. I never came to South Africa and applied for citizenship with my family. I went to the South African High Commission in Lilongwe, in Malawi. Mm. I applied before I came to your country. I went through all the processes. If your guys are corrupt in there and they fast-tracked it or they jumped some of your own rules and regulations, don't blame it on me. I acquired it properly. And he even said on his statement, I was called by the High Commission, by an official then, a South African, to say after 6 months, your documents are ready, or whatever the period, your documents are ready, come and pick them up. Mm. I know it works like that.
Mm.
But when you are at the embassy or the High Commission or South African Mission Abroad, you do not have the powers to can determine the citizenship of the person.
Mm.
You are like a post person. Mm. You receive the application, you vet it with the local authorities, you check if every document is in proper, and you send it to headquarters. So these four officials of Home Affairs that are arrested, which are still think there's more, they were at headquarters.
Mm.
And it's them who facilitated that entire process.
Hey, but he can't
act, allegedly so.
Hey, but he can't act like he knew nothing.
Who,
about yeah. what's happening this side.
No, I think he knew very
because,
well.
Because you are never an unwilling participant in issues of fraudulent papers or papers that bypass some sort of a master.
Yeah.
So I refuse to believe that anyone with papers that are not due to them knew nothing about it.
No, they knew. They knew, and I agree with you. Also, why would the master or a civil servant inside of voluntarily, you know, bypass rules and regulations to give an unknown person? Why would you do that?
Exactly.
I saw on SIU papers, they are saying some of the people who are allegedly involved in facilitating this thing were church members of this pastors, what is the way that church members aided them.
Yeah. Your papa, so we want to make sure that you stay here as long as possible. And if it means we bypass certain parts of how you must apply to legitimize your stay, then we'll do that.
Exactly. And you know, the other day, me and you, we discussed something, and I said, I am not for the people who are saying, Mabahambe, illegal foreigners, what, because. Who first? And I've asked this many times. Anything or anybody who is illegal in this country, who facilitated for them to be here?
So you're saying there's always a local involved?
Yeah, absolutely. Whether that person crossed the crocodile, even the crocodiles are local, our crocodiles, they contributed to bringing people to this site. It's us, fresh. It's us. We facilitate this, whether we are corrupt or not, or we feel sorry for people. Who hires these people in shops, in supermarkets, in our houses, in our gardens? Who hires them? Who when they bribe, when they are stopped on the road, they are stopped by you. Are they not stopped by South African police or Metro? Who bribes them? Who gets bribed? It's us.
You know what has always fascinated me is that if you apply through the right channels and value your intentions are not Bukeleme, you'll get your papers.
You will.
I mean, the other day I was getting, I could have been on a Donbass, the green one.
Okay.
So I was getting.
I mean, that's not a Donbass, it's a book ID.
Yeah, the book ID. But you're not EU. I get it. So I've been using that book ID for years.
I like it.
And I told them, because I decided that let me go get the card.
Okay.
And, you know, the first thing the Home Affairs guy said to me was, you've lived here for 30 years. Why have you never applied for citizenship?
Mm.
And I told him, I never came here for citizenship.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I came here for school. I got a job. So I just applied for the papers I need to apply for. I'm not here for citizenship.
But it also won't change your life.
And if ki kreya, ki aplesi, yes, I'll be happy about that. But apply for the right papers through the right channels.
Do the right thing.
And you will be fine.
And again, I think one mistake that South Africa did as a country, we must start thinking, looking along those directions.
Mm.
Because of the compromised civil service system, countries like Germany, the USA, UK, and now countries like Brazil, they've moved away from the Home Affairs or their embassies only to facilitate the process of visa and immigration.
Mm.
They've outsourced or they've created agencies sometimes that is dealing solely with that.
Yes.
And it's run more like an agency and a business model. I think when you do that, you shift the cost to the applicant. Like when you go to the US now. You don't go to the US embassy to apply for the visa to go to the US. You go to an agency that has been approved or created by the US government to focus solely on visa applications.
Or like a VFS.
Yes. Yes. Yes, the visa system. Yes. You do, that's what you do if you go to most of the EU states to get a Schengen visa.
Sure.
Because once you've got a Schengen visa for EU, you can cross to other members.
You stop dealing
with public officials who are underpaid. You are dealing with a professional body and company that is rendering that service, whether for profit purposes or for more close up, unlike a big Home Affairs office, but for more professional body. What will it do these agencies, they shift the cost. That's why it's so expensive to get a visa or residence permit or what to countries like the US. People pay up to 5,000 rent to do that. I think we should start moving towards that direction because our system is completely incompetent and in some areas compromised. Like what it has happened, South Africa changed its IDs. We change our passport 6 times since I've been in government to try and keep the forgery. Now they realize, oh, okay, we can't forge anymore. Let us have an agent inside the employee of government to can produce passports for us. So what do? You close those loopholes. The passports will still be printed by the government printing sector because it has gone through security. But the processing, the whole administration will be done by an agency or a company, and it costs money. That is something that will help. Actually, I just sold my business idea. I must go and sell this to the government. That's how we should move. It will ease the burden on officials of Home Affairs.
Sure. Yeah. We are out of time.
Oh.
But I want us to touch on the harmful sanitary pads that were found to possibly be toxic, amongst other things, possibly even cause infertility in certain women. Why are some of these brands still on shelves? Because surely if we're saying that there are certain sanitary pads that are contaminated, then you must pull down the whole thing until we're sure that they're safe to use.
And
you know, I'm not entirely a conspiracy theorist, but when you hear people talking about population control, and then you read stories like this, you can't help but think that eventually maybe they're trying to control our populations or influence our fertility.
Population control and fertility.
I don't understand. Why are these sanitary pads still on the shelves?
I like what jurists and lawyers say. In absence of the other side of the story, a court goes with what is in front of them. What? When I say, in absence of the government and lawmakers saying, no, it is not true, there's no population growth and what. There's nobody who has come and said it's not true. I would go with the conspiracy theory that says these things were done purposefully to actually infect black women or women in Africa. It could be white or colored or pink or brown people, to infect them with disease. Cancer is one of those mentioned by research. Just a quick one, Fresh. For those who probably never caught this story, what Fresh is talking about is a research that was done by the University of the of Free State for months, but the report was released about 3 weeks ago by the university researchers, experts, who are saying most of sanitary pads, tampons, and panty liners that girls and women use in South Africa. And for many years, it's not, according to their findings, these things didn't start now. It has happened for over 20 years because some of the brands, they've been named, and some of them is popular brands. They've been named by that to say they were sampled. They contain harmful biotics or whatever they call it in scientific ways that are causing women to develop cervical cancer, to have unusual periods, to have fibroids. They give birth to babies who are not normal. In most instances, actually, they even affect, in most instances, according to that report, they even affect the fertility of a woman. Now, being a man who has been married, being a man who has brought up daughters, it says to me, this makes sense, this report, and that it didn't start now. Because I have sisters. I've seen people around me, whether it's family, whether it's partner, whether it's my kids, going through very strange hormonal issues. Painful periods that sometimes girls at school, they can't even go to school when they are on their periods or cycle because of the pain, because abnormal bleeding.
And how do we know some of this is not influenced by the products themselves?
Well, according to the research, these products have influenced that. It's not me saying that, it's the scientific official research.
And it's 16, it's 16 brands.
Yes, 16 brands. How many brands of of sanitary pests we have in South Africa, less than 30.
I only know about 5.
Yeah, less than, you wouldn't know, what would we do?
No, I get, I've got daughters and I sometimes go buy for them.
But okay.
I personally only know about 5 or 6.
Yeah, that's...
But the fact that there's 16, and there's a lot of independents who make more affordable
ones,
sanitary pests.
Exactly. Now, when this was happening, the first question that came to my mind is, what happened to the South African Bureau of Standards? I don't know what is it called these days. It has a new name that tells the quality of these things, harmful things on food and products we consume. Where have they been? What are they saying? The worst thing that I'm now politicizing the whole thing is fresh. At the moment, the Consumer Council of this country has accepted the report. They've issued a statement to say it's concerning. One, they don't actually... Ironically, I listened to the radio during the course of the spokesperson of the Consumer Council of South Africa has the same name, Muilwa. So I must go and find out who's that person. This, and it's a woman, and say, he was asked a question in one of the radio stations. Have you withdrawn, have you issued an instruction to withdraw these products from the shelves? And she said, no. Have you advised people to stop using them, though, especially those that are listening, but no. Why? Because we as the Consumer Council have not declared the report or confirmed the report to be correct. It will take us up to 6 months to study the report and come with conclusive remarks.
So in the interim, what people must continue using, what could be contaminated, what could
exactly my concern.
Affect your fertility?
Your health?
Yes.
You may develop cervical cancer. A responsible government would have stood up about, because for me, this is a crisis.
Yes.
This is a very serious crisis. It's the same as we are having the foot mouth disease of animals or cows. It's the same. We have declared it a pandemic and a crisis because we have sick animals that may contaminate our food or consumption of beef. But when there is something that has been done by experts, and there's cases that are being reported. How many, since we grew up, me and you, Fresh, how many times have we heard of women who can conceive, women who must go and remove fibroids, women who are suffering from this and that of the cervical, whatever, even if it's not cancer. I mean, that has become common. And for me, it makes sense. Why are women in this country suffering from, abnormal periods and all those things? It is because of what the University of Free State has confirmed scientifically. And you say you still want to go and read the report to make an informed decision? Informed by what? When there's a scientific evidence in front of you? Yes. Where is the CSIR? Where is the Department of Health? They have not even issued one statement. The Department of Health in South Africa, Ntate Aaron Motsoaledi, I know you watch this show, your department hasn't issued a statement regarding the outcome of the investigative report or the research by the University of Free State. In a normal country or society, at least the government or Consumer Council could have said, can those suspected products be removed from the shelves for now? Because you want 6 months to go in and study the report.
And even issue batch numbers. But if you bought any of this batch that might be contaminated, you must return it and stop using it.
Exactly.
Return it for a full refund.
In the vehicle industry, I use an example. Remember the Ford Kuga Beni?
Yes.
Ford issued a statement, returned those vehicles. Yeah. Now it's Chery. All a certain Chery must be returned because it has a problem of safety standards.
In fact, 2025 was probably the biggest year when it comes to recalls.
Recalls, yes.
Of either airbags or this or that or the other in motoring.
The Jeep vehicle, they were recalled several times. Years back, there was a case in Asia, and I remember China, Australia, some countries in Europe, there was a baby formula milk.
I remember.
You remember that case? What did those countries do? They recalled milk products.
It became a national issue.
It became a national issue until that particular brand or company came out and said, we have sorted this matter out. No, we still want to go to bathrooms with night suits and ties. And imagine if I'm a member of the Consumer Council and that scientific report is put in front of me. I know nothing about science. Whenever I hear that, I've got a daughter who's about to go on puberty, is going to start using sanitary pads very soon. And I'm sitting as a board member with a report that says these 16 companies' sanitary pads are unsafe. At that moment, the first thing is I'll tell the mother of my child, don't buy these brands. But I can't tell. I'm occupying an influential government position. I can't tell the nation that I'm representing to say, don't buy these products for now. Stop if you are using them.
You know, the conspiracy theorist in me is even wondering if these batches were sent to specific areas or not. Or, as in, were they far and wide, or was it in specific areas?
You're bringing even more, yeah.
Was it only Kokasi? Was it informal settlements?
Yeah.
Was it also in the suburbs? Because then...
It will tell.
Then it will be more telling if we find out exactly where these were shipped. Because if it's across 16 brands, that means then they're probably using the same supplier of something.
That goes in manufacturing the product.
Exactly.
I even have more questions, and this came during the last 2 weeks in my mind. We must go and check, as citizens of this country, who are the owners of those 16 companies? And who are their sponsors? Because sometimes things like sanitary pads and condoms, sometimes you find international organizations,
NGOs,
sponsoring them because it's for goodwill. You understand? These pads were they give the girl pet campaign. In the last 10 years, it became very big in South Africa to say, let's help. I mean, I know I've participated in the past in donating sanitary pads to schools.
Yes.
It became a very big thing because in my mind it was to help the poor and needy. But then one is starting to question, when did it become an important focus that a girl in KwaDuduza, a girl in Mohlakeng Randfontein going to a primary school can't afford sanitary pads? And when it happens, who are the biggest players in the market? Who is funding them? Where are these things made? Which of those things are imports? You know, I will not attack or mention any company of those that are mentioned in the report. People can go and read, but it's there's a lot of questions that are going towards this thing. I think colonialism and apartheid and removal of human society, especially the African nation, did not end when colonialism and slavery and apartheid ended. There's a continued effort in the world to minimize the growth of the African population, whether in Africa or in diaspora. I'm one of the people who is very convinced that there's a continued effort, and they will use everything, food, and now we are in sanitary pads. I don't think it's an innocent accident. I don't think so.
You know, once in a while, I go down the Epstein Files rabbit hole.
I told you to stop doing that. You'll go nuts.
Once in a while, I go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And yesterday, well, 2 days ago, I stumbled upon a thread in this email. Epstein tells the person whose name is redacted that I hope you're ready for our hunting weekend or something weird like that.
Yeah.
And in the response, Epstein says, oh, they're niggers. As in, we're gonna hunt black people. They've redacted the name of the person Epstein was communicating with. And the next email was sent after the weekend. And he said the weekend was exhilarating. You know, a lot of these things, people have been confessing in movies. And we think it's just...
So
it's disturbing the kind of things you're finding out have been happening in corridors of the very, very rich and powerful. And then we're expected not to believe that there might be population control through various means, including contaminated pads.
HIV and AIDS. We're living in a very evil world. But again, it is us, Fresh, platform like this, those in the know, those who have access to information, to stand up and speak. Because part of the liberation, part of protecting the African nation, is to make sure that people are informed, people are knowledgeable. You understand? And you know, I don't know what more can people do to the world. Why would people like Epstein said, despite the fact that they are evil people, sat down and funded and formulated such things on earth just because they hated other nations? I don't say they didn't do evil things to white people in Europe and in Asia. But as an African, I'll talk for African people. We have been targeted for eradication. And it's not that we are stubborn as Africans. You know, we are diehards. We don't go down without a fight. And you know, shout out to all African people who resisted everything else that I don't think any nation on earth would have survived what Africans have survived over 300 years of living.
And on that note, we're done.
Thank you, Fresh.
Where do we find you on social media?
You'll find me on botsangm@gmail.com as well as on @botsangm on social media handles, which I've just dropped the ball a little bit in attending, and 083-884-7787 on WhatsApp. And for book orders, this biography, I still have about 200 and something copies.
Okay.
I need to go and print the new book and put it on ebook. Mm. So if I sell the copies of this biography, the remaining ones, I can afford the new project.
Okay.
So please, people, just WhatsApp me.
Sure.
And email me. Thank you very much, Fresh. And yeah, for those who want to know, Monday morning, just after 8 o'clock news, 938 FM on Jozi or Joburg, mm-hmm. but they can find us on streaming 938 FM.
938.co.za if you want to stream us on but Bozang is on In Context Mondays and Thursdays just after 8 PM. Yes, Bozang, sir. Thank you so much as always.
Thank you, Fresh. Thanks and a lot to the viewers and the listeners.
We'll see you again on the radio Monday morning.
Yes, sir.
And we're done. Another episode of Wow, What a Week, #Politrix with Fresh and Botsang. We're coming to you from Discover TV in 4 ways. Let them be your stage. Shout out to Trevor and his crew at Pezulu Works for all of the cinematography and to Kile Zomodisa King, our executive producer. But most importantly, to you for liking, subscribing, playing, sharing, and daring to even comment and interact with the episode. Until next week, we are out of here. Have yourselves a great week, in spite of yourselves.